We are all creatures that have selfish needs. Very rare do we run into people that are altruistic in nature. Even myself, I believe I'm very giving, but at the end, I do have some needs and wants that I would like to attain. All of us do. It's at different degrees, but I think all of us can, that have been in relationships and marriages, can understand about the challenges of when you're dealing with somebody that's very selfish and somebody that really tries to impose their will onto you, their ways and how they feel things should be done. So, and I ran into the article that talked about the 8 signs that you're the selfish partner in your relationship. And in my opinion, when it comes to being selfish, is a lot of it has to be about self-centered, being immature, inconsiderate, not being aware of your actions or your partner's needs and wants. It's all about you. So if that sounds familiar, it's a good chance that you probably went through it or you're currently going through it. But I know I've experienced it in the past, and it's something that I, going forward, I'm very aware of it. And I look for some of these signs. And when I look through some of the things that discussed this article, I said, yeah, that's about right as far as it coincides with me. So here are the 8 signs that indicate that you're probably the selfish one in your relationship. Number one, you expect your partner to listen to you vent, but you don't offer the same in return. Yeah, one of the reasons to be in an intimate relationship is that you have someone to tell your troubles to or will take our side when the world feels harsh. That feeling of being understood is accepted. Even if your partner doesn't protest, it's still a recipe for loneliness in a relationship. And what I believe is you play roles in a relationship. And the worst thing that anybody wants to experience is having a long day at work and being stressed out or drained and then coming home and having to deal with their partner stuff every day. There's no ability to help one another out. And when you're in a selfish relationship, when you're dealing with a partner that's selfish, it's all about them. It's all about their issues, their complaints, and they expect you to be their rock without realizing that, hey, I need some support too. I need you to be aware that it's not all about you. It's about us. But when your partner expects you to listen every time and doesn't reciprocate, I believe that's a recipe or a component of a person being selfish in the relationship. Number two, you give your partner the silent treatment instead of tackling difficult conversations in a mature way. Tough conversations are come. They're hard to come. They really are. People are afraid of dealing with somebody being sensitive and defensive. I know I've dealt with people in my past that felt that way, that I was a bit defensive, and I'm not denying it. But the one thing I always welcome and cherish is communication. And I think when you're dealing with a partner that's giving you, the silent treatment and not wanting to tackle the issues that are going on that need to be addressed, it's an issue. It's very hard to tackle tough conversations. It really is, especially in a romantic relationship. So this article is saying that when you give the silent treatment, that's definitely a sign of you being a selfish partner. Number three, you insist that your perspective is the correct one on everything. This is where I talk about the battle of the ideologies in a relationship. This is where I say that it's a never-ending battle of the female versus male and each person thinking that their way is the right way. And there's an insistence on that, and people wear on you. And this excerpt talks about this is a definite red flag indicating a strong degree of selfishness. If you find yourself always giving weight to only your own point of view, you're setting your relationship up to fail. What you're really saying to your partner is that you're the only one that needs your desires met with little or no consideration with the needs of your partner. And I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's, again, if you were to ask me the rankings on the selfishness, that's the one. That's the one that I look for. Because if your ideology is so set, if you're very set on your ways and you don't have enough flexibility and you believe that the way you think on all levels, on a personal, emotional, and sexual level, your way is the right way, and we conflict, that's not going to work. And I always go back to the component of being able to get along with people on a friendship level, on a, I guess, acquaintance level versus being in a relationship. Relationship is a whole different can of worms. Like, I can get along with somebody that I'm mutually attracted to, right? And even have intimacy and enjoy each other. But when you're talking about being in a commitment long term, that's a whole different can of worms. And when you insist that your perspective is the correct one on everything, that's a recipe for disaster. Number four, you routinely accuse your partner of being the selfish one in the relationship. Come on. Reverse psychology. This is not the way it always is done. Was that moonlight gaslighting? It's like when people make you feel as if you're the issue. You're the one that has the problem. And I always, when I have friends and people that come to talk to me about their situations and they tell me, you know, this is what's going on, and explain it to me, it's like, and when I see that it's one-sided, I'll ask them a simple question. Does she ever acknowledge she's wrong? And they'll say, never. I had a guy tell me that. Never. Well, you call that out, because there's no way that somebody is going to be 100% right on everything they say. Even a dead clock on the wall with no batteries is right twice a day. So you have to be very aware of that. When somebody is always right, they think in their way is the right way, and they're routinely accusing you of being the selfish one. Because if they think you're the selfish one and they're using that reverse psychology, forget about it. It's not the way to go. Number five, you get pissy when your partner makes plans that don't involve you. You ladies love that one. You're the one-stop shop. Why does he want to leave me? I am everything he needs. He doesn't need to go anywhere else. I was talking to this lady at the bar, married 23 years. She's like, I don't understand how women are that way. Who cares? You know where my husband goes to? Costa Rica. Every year. And I'm like, oh, go have fun. Get out of the house. I don't know why women get caught up in the thinking and stuff like that. Very interesting. Now, you know, all the women are like, fuck that. He's not going to go out there and cheat on me and do shit like that. Again, you're not going to control it. If he's going to cheat on you in Costa Rica or he's going to cheat on you at work, it's going to happen. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it. That's my whole point. I'm not saying you accept it. I'm not saying that if you are, you should be okay with it. My whole point is that you can't get pissy when your partner makes plans that involve you. He's had a life before you. And you can't expect him to shut down his friends and hang out with his people and do the thing, stop doing the things that he loves doing, because he's all about you now. That is one of the bigger problems I see with women all the time, is that they say, well, you know, if you want to be with me, you make the time. I get that, and I will make the time, but I have a life before you, and you should respect it. But women are very passive aggressive about that. When you start making plans and you want to go to the movie and watch a movie, why didn't you invite me? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to the gun range. Why aren't you inviting me? Hey, man, we're going to go surfing. Why aren't you inviting me? Yeah, I mean, because maybe you don't like it. Maybe you're going to go there and complain the whole fucking time. Number six, you're overly critical of your partner's friends and family. Well, it coincides with number five. It goes back to that. Occasionally, and this is what the excerpt says. Occasionally, I see couples where one partner refuses to hang out with the other partner's friends or belittles them, looks down on them, or otherwise unpleasant towards these friends. This creates a troubling imbalance in the relationship where one person becomes the arbiter of who's in and who's out. It also implies a sense of superiority on the part of the partner who pronounces him or herself as the judge of high-quality friends. Yeah, I mean, that's something that you're very understanding about, because, gosh, if you are hanging out with friends that are all about fucking around and all this and that, I mean, the partner has no problem with it, or the problem has a problem with it. basically, she's judging your friends and saying who's good for you and not good for you. And that's not neither here or there. I remember a friend telling me about that, where when he was dating his wife, and she tried to give him a hard time about who he should be hanging out with and not hanging out with, and he pretty much drew a line like, hey, say, if you gotta go, you gotta go. But you're not gonna tell me who I can hang out with and not hang out with, especially if they've been a history of my life and I have a connection with them. That's that. And I know I've had those battles with me as well, where I make that decision. You don't make it for me. Okay? And conversely, I'm not gonna ever tell you who you can and cannot hang out with. Like, I don't have a problem if you want to hang out with your ex-boyfriend that you've known for a long time. And people get all bent out of shape about it. Like, really? You would do that? Come on, man. I don't care. All I care about is when my partner's with me, is she being really good to me? Is she awesome with me? Does she respect me? And those things play themselves out. You can't force anybody, in my opinion, to be loyal, to be faithful, whatever it is. You can't. It's just the way it goes. And if you overly critical of your partner's friends and family, who they can hang out with, that's a big problem to me. Because you're slowly but surely chipping away at who they are as a person. And I always talk about that, where I'm in a great place, because part of it is because I found myself again. When you're in a relationship, you tend to lose yourself when you're giving and when you give in to a lot of the things that they want done. And I'm not trying to blame anybody. You know, it's just more of what happens to many of us in a relationship. When we love somebody, we're very giving, and to the detriment of our happiness. And when, unfortunately, things don't work out, then you say to yourself, man, I really made some drastic changes and I have to find myself once again. So it's, and part of it is just, you know, reconnecting with friends and family. Number 7, you're oblivious to your partner's needs. I always notice the quality of deadness in a couple who comes for therapy when one partner isn't at all worried about pleasing the other. Huh. And I think that's what I see a lot of times when people talk about their relationships. I don't know. It's a weird thing when somebody gets in a relationship and it's all about them. And I was hearing Bill Burr talk about this, that he feels he's a comedian that is married and has a kid, and he just feels like he is the fifth priority in his Mrs. Wife's life, I should say. And he was saying that she puts the baby first, the job, and the house, then her family, and then, you know, the dog, and then maybe him. It was something like that. He made it really funny. But he was just saying, and that's what I feel happens a lot of times. Like, women just like, okay, you figure it out, dude. Because a lot of times, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but maybe they feel they're just there for sex and that's it, and paying for things and that's it. And I don't want that kind of relationship. I don't think some people do, sure, but I just feel when you're not watering each other's plants, it's a big problem. Last one, number 8. When you don't get your way, you threaten to end the relationship, even if you don't mean it. Yeah, it says here, even in the very best of relationships, none of us is going to always get what we need. If you spend time threatening to leave your partner, how can it ever grow to trust that it isn't always going to be about you and your needs? Someone that genuinely loves their partner is going to be mature enough and have enough self-awareness to know that it is extremely hurtful to threaten to abandon someone we love just because we don't get our way. It's very common for people to do that, to draw their line in the sand. And I have no problem with that, as far as you not getting your way. But I think those things have to be hashed out in the beginning before you commit to one another. I always discuss that with people. You live your life, you do what you do, right? But when you're ready for that relationship talk, and when we're both ready, then we have to sit down and talk about it and figure this thing out. And part of it is addressing each other's needs and wants. And that's, I know that's not something that You always hear these girls, oh, but I'm so old-fashioned. I'm probably going to do a podcast about that. But you see these girls that are old-fashioned, but it's weird because it's conflicting. They want to be old-fashioned and the man doing everything, but at the end, they want to control everything. And part of that is controlling their needs and getting at their partner when they desire, when they feel it's right. And that's not right. That's not fair. If you're a very selfish person, you definitely can be threatening to end the relationship and calling that bluff. It's not right, because how are you going to throw that over their head? I know this guy, unfortunately, he's going through the process of a breakup, and his significant other kept threatening him for the longest time. And it's like, oh, I'm going to leave you. And just a head case, man. Like, I don't understand you ladies, man. And I understand guys are ugly and try to help them out and all that, but it's a shame, because I think when you're not aware that you're being very selfish and you just think it's all about you, I think a lot of times you're going to realize the hard way that when you're dealing with somebody and those challenges, you're really creating a monster. But at the end, that's how it is anyway, isn't it? That people, like the person that's selfish, it's all about them. That partner slowly but surely feels this level of resentment towards them. And then they act upon it, whether it is by being a bitch, whether it's by cheating, whether it's by just causing arguments all the time, because they're not looking out for each other's needs, or they just have different ideology, but the various reasons. And at the end, if you can understand that you're a selfish person in a relationship, and you can see the body of work shows that, man, I've been all about me, then you need to fix it. And understand that your partner, hopefully it's not too late for many of you if you are still in a relationship. But I think it's such a shame that people, they go into it with this vision. It's all about them. And in reality, it's all about the group. It's all about the partnership. You guys got to do what's best for each other. And I just wish people looked at it more that way. But in this landscape where I think everyone feels they have a plethora of options, hey, you know, why settle? Why settle to compromising and not settle to be good to our partners, but when we could just sit on a throne and have everything handed to us?